You've lost that love and feeling.
Well,
whoa, that love and
definitely
feeling.
Definitely lost something because you're coming out of the wrong speakers.
Whatever speaker is most directly in front of your ear, most present, most annoying, that's the correct one.
Well, I'm sat here with headphones on, and you're coming out of the monitor speaker.
Mm. I will not be contained by mere headphones. I want everybody in East Bollockshire to hear my voice.
I've put you back in the box where you belong.
Damn it. Well, Scotty, what do you have to say for yourself? Are you going to apologize at least for having broken my heart? Do you know how many tears have fallen into a cappuccino every morning?
I would guess 3. No. John, a relationship is a mutual responsibility. It's no good blaming one person for the absence in a relationship. It's it requires two people to make this work, and
I
am only one of them, and you're right, I don't care, and if you don't care, then we shouldn't be surprised, should we?
All right, well, Scotty, now that we've gotten over past the blame section of this, how are you?
I am good, I think. It's been about 3 or 4 weeks since we last spoke, isn't it? So
it has been, I know.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't spoken since WWDC.
Since before.
Or the Breakpoints gig, yeah. Or I think it was the week before WW we last spoke. So, a lot has happened since then. I'm back in a different country. I'm sat in a different office. Lots have changed. What's changed for you?
Well, nothing other than I haven't had the opportunity to talk in Globe, but now I've forgotten half the thing that I meant to say about this, Tara. I think that's why you planned it this way.
That's right. I can never believe that you forget how to gloat.
Okay, well, then can I start gloating a little bit?
John, I think we will let you do extra gloating this week, just for it. Let's do some okay. Let's do some gloating. Off you go. This is John's gloaty section.
Okay, so, I got a golden ticket, and I had not been, to a dub in person in a long time. And not that there have been tons that you could be, but I've never actually set foot on the inner ring of the Apple spaceship. And that was kind of extraordinary. Never let anyone try and convince you that Apple developer, relations is not a cult. I mean, like the effort they go through, like, when you go to pick up your badge, first of all, you don't go to the spaceship on Sunday. You go to the old Infinite Loop, which there was a time when I thought, oh, my God, Infinite Loop. I'm on Apple campus. And now it just seems like, a little kind of tuft of grass with a couple of nondescript buildings around it. But, you had the chance to kind of eat some nice food and hang out and meet some people. I saw Jeppy and who I hadn't seen in years. And then when you leave, this was amazing, like they basically clap your departure. And I'm like thinking, wow, are you so happy I'm gone?
But I'm going to have to do that now myself, John. At the end of the show, I am going to clap your departure.
Well, just it was all in an effort to make us feel extra special. I mean, we had like walk-on music, dance-on music and stuff. It was fun. But I mean, the thing about it is like it's fun in the moment, but it makes you think like they probably had training on how to do this, and we're told in no uncertain terms that no developer, especially ones that have come far afield and have not had much contact with this kind of super gold star, everything's awesome California mindset. And I think that many people went back to their village and said, oh my gosh, I've been to the promised land.
I mean, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but it sounds very American. And one thing you Americans are very good at is whooping and a hollering over and getting excited about things. Whereas often, if you did that in the UK, someone would just look at you and say, "Shut up, dickhead."
Exactly.
So, yeah. But when you're in America, you can. It's everything's contextual, isn't it? Because when you're in America, you can get in with being American. Because of course, why wouldn't you be American? But I'm not sure it would necessarily translate. Well, not translate to parts of Europe anyway. But I guess so. But anyway, I am glad that you loved being applauded and whooped and hollered because it's all about you and not about me. So excellent. So that was some food and doing. But then what was the rest of it like?
Well, first of all, we have now the show title. Shut up, dickhead. You're not special.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Anyway, so the actual Monday day was good, you know, and luckily I had a colleague who was staying with a friend down in Cupertino, so she got there very early because it fills up. They have like an outdoor or whatever seating space with some sun sails. But, you know, I think you have to have been there the year before to know that kind of the whole right side of the seating area is a no-go for the morning keynote because that's where the sun is absolutely kind of, you know, raining down on you, and you basically have third-degree burns before lunchtime. But it was better than not being underneath the sun sails a little bit. And it was, you know, the whole thing's pre-recorded, so you have Tim Cook and his hype men coming out beforehand and getting people up and running, and, you know, and so that's kind of fun. It's just basically so that you have about 5 seconds to know that you're seeing something that not everyone else is seeing it by watching on the live stream. But, you know, in terms of the experience, it was, you know, I almost felt bad a little bit for Apple engineers because on the one hand, I suppose, you know, they're all kind of on duty. They all have to wear shirts. They all have to be, you know, willing to speak with the unwashed masses, asking questions and preparing to be disappointed about APIs that either don't work the way you hope they would or simply don't exist. But at least this time they didn't have to go up to San Francisco in order to do it. But the difference here is that, you know, part of the draw is not just that you get to, you know, see the campus, which is cool, but that you have access to Apple engineers. But you and they, for the most part, have just found out about all the new juicy APIs. So you can run right up to them and saying, oh, my God, this looks great. It looks like I should be able to do X, Y, and Z. And they're like, no. So that was, you know, the kind of perennial disappointment. And as one of my colleagues said, well, basically, you can't really watch dub videos with any mind to putting it in your product until the following year, because it typically takes that time for one of the older generations of operating systems to be dropped so that you can use the new APIs that you want to use. So that was fun. And then after, you know, then there was a time when you could have a tour. So at first I thought we were just going to be allowed on the outer inner ring. But no, we could actually go all the way through during lunch. They kind of pulled out the gates and you could walk all across campus. And the campus itself it's hard to tell how big it is just by looking at it on a map. You have to experience for yourself. They have this great rainbow. this is great that there's somebody snoring next to me.
I mean, and
it's clear indication that it's like, forget Barky, the failure dog. You know how incredibly dull what you're saying is when you have, like, you know, unsynthesized.
I can't believe it. I mean, have you fallen asleep yourself?
Yes, exactly. I'm so dull putting myself to sleep.
Anyway, on a campus tour, yep.
Yeah, so anyway, so you're there, and basically on the inside they have like this, you know, rainbow that's in the middle of it, and that's fun. And there are all sorts of kind of, you know, apple and prune trees that are in there, basically trying to replicate what Silicon Valley was before it was Silicon Valley. And then they have like little water features, and there are these big signs on the door saying, you know, attention, duck crossing, because they have ducks there. That helps maintain, I guess they probably eat the insects and slugs that would otherwise attack the trees. And on occasion, I've been told that, you know, every 4 months or something during the plum season, you get half a slice of plum tart that was made with the plums that were grown there. So that's cool.
Yeah, it is everything. And I believe they've got the big pond in the middle, haven't they? And yes. I think
now that to me is the coolest. Oh, you're not supposed to know about this. How do you know about these things? You've been on campus, haven't you? So I'm telling you all these things thinking I'm super special, but I forget.
I have been on campus, yes, several times.
I hate you. All right, well, fine. So I'll say my one last thing, and then I can move on. But the thing that was most impressive to me is this kind of water feature thing, like this little pond, and the sound that it produces, like you think you're inside a wave. I'm like going, hold on a second, I'm not seeing any wave action. How is this sound being done? Then I look around in the peripheral, and there are these poles. And I think, oh, my gosh, you know, this is Apple's kind of directional computational audio testing lab, and that there were like these, you know, super, super directional speakers that were beaming the sound directly inside my ear, because that there actually is such a thing. I think the U.S. Army has done, you know, research and development of weapons that will basically project a sound of a kind of ear piercing sound that doesn't have to make sound waves that kills everybody. It's directional. So it's like it has a target that's right next to somebody's ear. And I guess they were also thinking they could use it to send anti-hate messages. So instead of saying, "You're awesome," it's like, "You're a fucking idiot. Everybody's staring at you and laughing at you." But in fact, that's not the case, because they have docents on campus. And maybe they don't have that on during the regular time when Apple employees are there. But when they have Dub-Dub, they actually have people who are trained and can answer these questions. And as it was pointed out to me, that there's this kind of lip over which the water flows, and that there is in the center is the kind of a wave generation machine, which fires every, I don't know, couple of minutes or so. But that the actual water pond sits on top of something, kind of so that there's an air gap beneath, and so there's a reverberation, so that the wave action of just a little bit of water going over the lip, on top of this, you know, I guess diaphragm is what it becomes, then produces that large wave sound. It's amazing. It totally, you know, flips you out. The whole experience of it is really amazing. So all nonsense and cultish, you know, accusations away, it is probably one of the most extraordinary office buildings anywhere on the planet.
Without a doubt. And what I also love about the pond is, I mean, because of the wave action, it means that, especially if you're there in the fall, it means all the leaves move to the edge so that they can be collected. So the pond is always clear, because that's the wave action. And it's quite amusing if you sit there in the fall and you just watch the ducks on the pond, because they all gradually move to the outside.
It made me worry that, you know, there are a number of French people in Silicon Valley, so I think if the concentration becomes too high, that, you know, you may see duck on the menu. It's like, you know, the duck that you thought was patty was really duck pate.
So, I love a bit of duck myself, so there we are. Well, I'm glad duck that you had a wonderful time jollying it up for it. So, okay, so you were partying, you were meeting people, you were being impressed by the Apple offices, which, if you ever get a chance to go to campus, you should do, because it is the most impressive office building I've ever seen anyway. As a technical release cycle, what were your thoughts?
I don't know. I think I can say specifically there were things that I had hoped for and I had my hopes dashed. So, for instance, you know, there was... You know, it's kind of funny, like, you know, I'm aware of Android. I have colleagues that I know that do it, many of whom use iPhones as their personal carry device, but they write code for Android. And so a lot of people who are familiar with Android capabilities have been around for a while. They watch the keynote. It's like, okay, you know, we've been doing this for years. And so, you know, you can set aside the whole kind of AI aspect of it, because I think it's been talked to death and we've lost our opportunity to talk about it, I think, because so much time has passed. But some of the widget type things that they had, control panel, I forgot what the exact name for it was. I mean, like every couple of years, people get the religion about widgets, because that was its own thing on the desktop. And when widgets were done, I think they were originally done by some as a project from Yahoo or ex-Yahoo people, and then maybe they came to Apple, but this idea that you could have little programs that would float over to the desktop, and now you have something similar-ish that sit around on your iPhone screen. And for me, particularly because of some things I've been working on where you use a phone to control a TV, for example, it would be really nice to have an update to what you can display on the lock screen, because there is existing API. It's very long in the tooth that allows you, if you've got audio that's playing or video that's playing, you can have artwork and you can, you know, allow people to skip and fast forward and scrub and have, you know, timer countdowns and play pause and all that kind of good stuff. But it, you know, it hasn't been changed the longest time. So then along comes, you know, an API for having, you know, what looked like, you know, more sophisticated widgets. So that's like the first thing I went to talk to one of the engineers, and I assumed that I actually would be able to talk to somebody about that. And I found the right person. I'm all excited about it. I showed, you know, I had my laptop up and running, you know, to be able to demonstrate it. And they go, no, you can't have any images in there. Like, what I wanted to do is there's this thing called trick play where you basically use, you advance the scrubber. It will show you an image of what the video is like. It does it in 10-second intervals. So if you're scrubbing forward or backward to get to a scene you're looking for and it's 10 minutes away in the thing, you don't want to sit there and tap, 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 tap. You can just scrub and you can accurately determine where you need to let up. So I thought that was great. We could do it in the lock screen. Wonderful. And they're like, no, the only thing you can put in there is SF symbols, you know, and emoji. And so I'm thinking, okay, could I use Gen emoji to generate these things? And they go, ha ha, no, you can't. You know, and then, but, you know, but not to kind of derail the conversation into discussions of Gen AI, the Gen emoji stuff did look fun to me because I do like that kind of stuff. And, you know, the Netflix app lets you pick icons, and we supply the icons for it, and they're based on our shows. And I'm thinking, okay, well, wouldn't it be nice to potentially allow users to do it? And it's, you know, it's just a throwaway idea because you can't really kind of do something that's Apple only. But the question that I had is like, are there safeguards built into it? Because, you know, it'd be pretty easy to make a prompt that ends up in something kind of revolting, you know vulgar, vulgar and revolting. So I asked them about that and they couldn't say exactly, said, you know, we're aware of the considerations. And basically what they said is that, you know, there's part of the reason why they chose kind of obvious artificial styles, like cartoon style or kind of etch style or, you know, general emoji style, rather than organic photograph, photorealistic, is because then it doesn't run that risk of you trying to turn yourself into somebody famous, you know, put Scotty's body on Taylor Swift's chin or something, you know.
What an image that would be.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great? Yeah. So, I mean, all that was good, and it's all those things where you know, we talked about, it's like, well, there's nothing new, and I think genuinely speaking, you know, what Apple had to say makes perfect sense in terms of how they're approaching consumer AI, and, you know, so, great, now I just want to play with it, and of course, nobody can quite yet, and won't for a while, but the most, in some ways, the most interesting news about the whole thing is the fact that, you know, Apple is basically, as far as I understand, either threatened or decided to just basically not ship the AI features in the European Union because the EU is basically saying unless you unbundle it completely and allow other third parties to be able to get in there and compete on a equal footing, they're like saying, okay, well, we're not going to do it and you can't have it. So that's a potentially interesting topic of discussion at some point.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I mean, we're at the bullshit stage at the moment. This basically is just a mirror image of Microsoft in the 90s, late 90s, yeah. Against, you know, the State Department and against the EU. And, you know, Bill Gates thought he was bigger than government, and in the end, he lost. And, you know, you can go up against governments, but in the end, you will lose. Particularly, and I think this is something that sometimes American companies don't understand, because effectively in America, you can buy your government. There's that behavior, whereas actually, that is not. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are people with influence and favors and nods and winks in every country. But the outright open ability to buy your government, or particularly buy 27 of them in the EU, is not there. And I think, you know, American companies sometimes. I mean, Apple are a very big company and they have lots of understanding of everything. Yeah, but I think this whole thought that we will win this. It's sometimes a little naive. It's just a matter of how long until you lose. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But the whole thing is, I don't, you know, the current view here, and this is not a technical view or a well-thought-out or analyzed view, is Apple are just bullshitting because they're just trying to hold the EU to ransom by saying, we won't do this, we won't do that. Let's see what happens. Yeah, I don't think that will make the EU cave at all, because the EU will just say, fine, someone else will develop a device that people want and you won't be selling yours here. So we'll see. We'll see. But this will go on for a long time yet. So the matter is, you know, if this is going to take another 4 years to resolve, are Apple really prepared to not let their latest technology go in their devices in Europe for 4 years and fall behind, basically?
Yeah. Well, but then that's the question that comes in. I mean, it's a little bit, this is, I agree with everything you said. Yes, it's very clear that you can purchase government services easily in the United States and get exactly what you want. And you can see the ill effect of it, especially now with a recent Supreme Court ruling. So no argument there. But in this particular case, I think it is a little bit more subtle. And I'm not entirely convinced that, you know, that Google will not run into the same issues if they, you know, to the degree that they offer kind of similar consumer AI that is, I know we'll see.
The difference they have is Android is open source, and anybody could take Android and put their own version of it on any phone or whatever they wanted. Any manufacturer could do that. So the point is, Google might be saying, oh, well, our version of our phone shipping with this will only have that. But if you don't want that, you can just go download Android, compile it, and it's all, I know that's bullshit, but I think there's difference.
Yeah, I know, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, and build your own services. I think that's the thing. Yeah. But whatever. To be observed and watched. But you know, generally speaking, I thought that they had an interesting range of things that I myself would like to be able to use. But it still comes, you know, I think the other thing about this is like the number of software companies that have been Sherlocked, and of course I got to see Dan the Man himself, which was great because I hadn't seen him in a while. And
so we should just explain that Dan is the software engineer who had the first piece of software that was Sherlocked, shall we say, or where the term came from. He had a piece of software called Watson, wasn't it? And Apple then released Sherlock, replacing it, and that's where our term Sherlock came from. Dan has been Sherlocked several times, hasn't he?
Yeah, I know, multiple times. He has like the greatest record for it. And the funny thing is, there was an event kind of on Friday, the One More Thing conference, which had been going on. And there was kind of a week in review, so that's when James Dempsey kind of comes up with a little ukulele ditty to kind of cover the main themes in the week. And so I brought my son along, and I guess you know there's a YouTuber that he follows closely, Marcus Brownlee, who had talked about the origin of Sherlocking and what it meant, because it comes kind of to the fore every now and then. And of course, with Gen Z, there are plenty of interesting videos that explain the origin of these ancient, you know, events in history that span back 20 years or something. And when I told him, it's like, hey, you can meet Dan, you know, you can meet Mr. Sherlock himself. It's like, are you kidding? Really? Wow. And he's, you know, he's such a lovely guy, you know, so it was nice catching up with him. That was fun. And there was like a little kind of impromptu pop-up chorus for the song One More Thing that we did. So that was nice. And the show itself, you know, I've gathered all these things in anticipation of the fact that Scotty would take months before he would be willing to talk to me again. I did compile a photo and video gallery of the week. So comprising some of the videos and photos from Apple Campus and some of the things from the James Dempsey show, which as it turned out, I was actually pretty pleased with the performance. And so it was lots of fun.
Well, it sounds like you had a really good week.
I had a lovely week, Scotty.
Well, I was, I was still in Spain at that time.
I know.
So everything was an hour later in the evening and there. So I suppose I didn't really pay that much attention. As far as my overview of the conference, I think from a user point of view, the updates to iOS and to macOS were interesting but not astounding. Mm-hmm. It sounds like here in Europe we're not going to see most of them anyway, so who cares? And it is going to raise an interesting question. At this moment in time, the developer interaction with the stuff that Apple are withholding is very, very limited anyway. Whereas that opens up over time and developers, you know, how is that going to affect if apps themselves are then going to be, you know, if your app in any way uses Apple Intelligence, can that your app no longer be shipped in the EU, for example?
Right.
All those questions will be answered, have to be answered. From a developer point of view, I think this is the first time I can remember that 1 month, yes, but a month today, isn't it, since the since the conference, I've still not downloaded the beta Xcode and had a look at it. Normally, I'd, you know, be on there on the first morning or whatever else. I haven't even downloaded it to look at it yet. So I'm not sure if that's just a case of because I've been busy, I've been away, or my interest levels are slightly lower, or yeah, because I can't use it right now. I did find Swift testing interesting. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but I think that that might be interesting. But I don't know if there was anything from a sort of a developer tools point of view that stood out to you that you were keen to try or have tried yet.
The Swift 6, you know, that's kind of cool. And so that's, you know, thinking what I can. So, you know, when there's a new version of Xcode, we have a certain number of machines that we can allocate for it. And you know, we always do this. We kind of have to pay attention. So as soon as there's new versions, new APIs, we have to test, especially if we know there's going to be a public beta, because people, of course, will try our app on it. And Apple, of course, takes, you know, takes the time to look at leading third-party apps and make sure they don't completely break the universe. But to be able to adopt some of the new features of Swift 6, it is interesting for us because we want to. I mean, we're at this point where there has been such a sea change, and we would love to make more and more and more of the app Swift UI, and you know, not have to worry about the Objective-C and UIKit, you know, interop. So that is of intense interest to us. And we did see some things with compiling and when you have code gen. So, okay, not to open a can of worms, but if you use GraphQL, oftentimes you do code gen to basically take the schema, and it will generate fully formed entities with the accessors and all that kind of stuff, and then you build on top of it. It's kind of like a rehash of Stiff that dates back to Enterprise Objects Framework. But in this particular case with GraphQL, you can generate, you can get to the point where the code generation takes forever, forever, forever. And there was something that was taking truly, truly forever. And basically, there's an interest that if there's a bug that can really hurt us or whatever, a change in behavior that really affects us, you don't have that much time between when Apple lets you have a look at it during dub to when there's no chance of getting anything fixed before it's actually released. So there is a certain amount of stress that we have to go through in order to find out, is there anything that's absolutely killing? And if there is, can we, you know, try and get it addressed or find a workaround or whatever the case may be. So, whereas you can just kind of like hang out in your post-sun, your post-Spanish holiday, you know, stupor. Some of us, not me, but some of us have to work.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm working, but yep, it's <That's> definitely. I'm not going to start on what we're working on. Next week, maybe we'll catch up on what I'm working on and do there. I think we'll just leave this as a bit of a review of the last month's show of where we've been and how we're going. And maybe my next week, kind of, in fact, I've just literally, as you were speaking, gone to developer.apple.com and I'm downloading Xcode 16 Beta 3.
That guilted you into downloading it.
Well, and there also the point is, unlike last year where you had to rerunning the beta initially for the early betas anyway, the beta Mac OS as well in order to even run Xcode, that required effort, whereas it seems Xcode 16 beta 3 still runs on 14.5, which I'm running, so who knows, I may be a full convert and in love with it by next week.
Excellent. I actually do like it. I think it is pretty good. But what I was going to say, well, we may have to start kind of, you know, wrapping this up. I'm trying to think, is there any other great bit of wisdom that I have to share from the week? No, I just do vaguely remember that you being very sad because you were thinking that Apple would have nothing to offer Apple, you know, Mac developers. And I'm trying to remember if that's the case or not.
Well, obviously, if it wasn't, that was not very stunning, is it? I think from a Mac development point of view, we had another year where Mac Catalyst was not even mentioned. Now, they also didn't mention multi-platform, but then again, multi-platform is available easily as a project choice in Xcode. I believe it still is. Obviously, Yeah, if you start an iPad app or an iOS app, it automatically adds the target to run on a Mac. And you have to go off and secretly find the Mac Catalyst one. The checkbox that was very prominent of just ticking it before is, you know, it doesn't do that there. So I think, although Apple didn't say anything, personally, I think starting something with Mac Catalyst right now would be risky, personally. Off the basis of this, like this, at least the second year in a row that they've not mentioned it, not made any updates to it. There's no what's new in Catalyst, no improvements on it, not that have been talked about anyway. So really, I think it's the future for Mac development is either iPad apps that just run on the Mac or cross-platform, multi-platform using Swift UI from Xcode. So I think, while Apple haven't said anything, I think what they didn't say probably says enough, if that makes sense.
Could fill an Olympic-sized swimming pool.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, Scotty, if people want to, you know, toss you into an Olympic-sized swimming pool in order to help you cool down, how might they do that?
Well, John, they wouldn't need to, because ever since I have returned from Spain, it has done nothing but piss down here in England. And that's not true. We had 1 week of sun. So we are currently sat up to our ankles in water everywhere. So if you just wait long enough, I will be in an Olympic-sized swimming pool without you doing anything. However, if you wish to encourage the process, you can do that on Mastodon, where I am, MacDevNet at mastodon.social. And John, if people want to give you a bit more American rah-rah and applaud your exit, where can they do that?
Well, they can put on a cheerleader uniform and practice their cheers in front of a mirror before broadcasting it live, on where you can find me on Mastodon. I'm Djembe, D-J-E-M-B-E, like the West African drum, at mastodon.social. You can find me on Threads as John Fox.
John, I'm just going to try and get this finished properly. We're going to do our best here because Sam is in the same room with me right now. He can't hear what you're saying because I've got headphones on and you're no longer coming out of the monitor speaker. But we promise we'd try this. So we are going to cheer and applaud your exit from the podcast. Sam, this is your opportunity to express how pleased you are for John to leave. Go! There we are. It's the best we could do.
I'm heart warmed.
And with that, John, you better fuck off.
Until next time, fuck off.
Dear listener, you will never be applauded exit. Dear listeners, exits will never be applauded, only John's. So the listener will be missed and tears will be shed. So whoever you are this week, thank you for listening. And until next time,
you take care never to try and doing a podcast with a mean person like Scotty.